Well, hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Dog Show Drive with Wayne and Will. I'm Wayne Cavanaugh.
And I'm Will Alexander.
Yes, you are, with a beautiful, splendid array of whiskers, Will. The beard is looking spectacular.
I'm growing it out for the winter, Wayner.
Right. Until you shoot your first deer, then you can cut it off.
That's right.
I believe that's the way it works. Anyway, we have a big show for you today. Lots to talk about. We talk about judging, and just as far as not the ring part, but as far as the getting there, getting home, the expenses and the experience it takes to do it, and how we appreciate at doing it at whatever expense it takes because we love it. Also, ring procedure at shows and just being kind in the ring and how things should roll to keep the exhibitors and the dogs happy. And also, we have a big wedding to talk about and we have some big upcoming shows coming on. We're going to talk to you all about that and more on the Dog Show Drive.
So, he hissed at you. What did he say?
Give me grace, bury my sins, shattered glass and black holes can't hold me back from where I need to go.
I always like that.
Well, hello there, young William. How the heck are you? Well, not start over again. What? Hey, Doc, what are you doing?
What's up, yeah, Doc? I think the internet went recording in progress. Wouldn't it be better if it was Norman Jewison's voice? Action.
Action.
Anyway, all right, Doc. Sorry.
All right. Take two. Well, here we are on another Dog Show Drive. It's been a big week, lots to talk about and lots going on in the future. So first of all, my friend, how the hell are you?
I'm good, Wayne, but I got to tell you, I'm up here, you know, in the great white north, and it's a little chilly this morning because I thought I could smell something burning as I was walking around the house. I checked everything. It was the thermostat came on. The heater started. The furnace went on. So I'm like, what the heck is that all about?
It's coming. It's coming. It's chilly here in Michigan, too, I can tell you. It's rainy and cold. My least favorite kind of weather.
Me too.
It's Killian's favorite weather. Damn Irish bugger, you know? He loves the cold rain. So when I take him for a walk, because he likes to go for his walks, he wants to go on forever when it's cold and rainy. Not old Watachi. I want to go home.
Exactly.
I want to get in my warm bed.
Yeah, when it's cold and wet out, there's nothing better than starting a fire in a fireplace. Because then it dries out the house again. But because I hate the damp cold. I don't mind the dry cold. I hate the damp cold.
Man, how can we be Irish? It's not even possible.
I don't know. Because they go inside and they start a fire.
In a fireplace,
most times.
Absolutely. It's just been, I'm exhausted is what I am, Will. I'm exhausted. And I went out to, I had a great time out in Seattle, judged a specialty out there the weekend of the National. And it was a lot of fun. But I do want to talk about, and I don't think the average exhibitor appreciates this, but I want to say first that no one works harder than the average exhibitor, right? You're bathing all week, you're working, you drive all the way there, especially all the way to Seattle or wherever it might be for a specialty. It's a lot of work, but don't underestimate how hard it is for us old judges. I mean, and I'm not complaining at all. I'm just saying that you're in the ring when you do, and this is not, I'm talking about independent specialty, right? Mm-hmm. So you're there for, you're judging from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. or whatever it might be. But you had to leave the day before at least. And you had to take all those planes and all those connections. And then when you're all done, and at specialties like that, you really can't socialize, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you have a panel of judges and there's 8 of you, you go to dinner together. And that's part of your social part of going to a dog show. You talk dogs. You don't criticize them. You're not allowed to do that. But you talk about how great all the dogs are. And you tell war stories and talk about pedigrees and old dogs and all that good stuff and new dogs. But when you're doing an independent specialty, you arrive, you're in your room, and you have your M&Ms, and you go buy a $6 bottle of water in the vending machine. And and then you judge, and then you pack, and you go home. There's not a lot of... I can tell you that what I wanted to do after the specialty... I know a whole lot of those English setter people and have for a very long time. I would have loved to go into the bar with them after. The weekend's over, no more judging's going on, and hang out with them all. I've known a lot of them for many, many years. But, well, first of all, I don't feel comfortable doing that in a bar with 40 people with no masks.
Right.
Well, but I'm not sure about how that all works now. You know, I went to dinner with a judge the day I got there, who had already judged. We never discussed a dog, never. And that's okay to do, but you still think, well, someone walks by and sees you sitting with it. I mean, what a bunch of crap, you know?
Yeah.
We're supposed to be out there enjoying this and just talking dogs. But anyway, on the way home, this is typical. You get up 6 a.m. to get your plane after judging, and you're on your feet the whole day. Again, not complaining, just explaining the process to people. I get to the airport. You take the shuttle to the airport. You hope it arrives on time. You're jammed in like sardines. And then you get to the airport, and there's too many damn people at the airport because I'm old and I'm a curmudgeon and I don't like people. and you wait. You have to go through security, all that stuff. And then you get on the plane, and you're always next to the person you don't want to be next to. You know, the guy that smells like some food or animal or rotten something, you know, that kind of, and they're just there and they're hanging over your seat and lights up. And they want to talk to you. I want to sleep. Anyway, that's part travel. So I get to Minneapolis. Now I'm pretty close to home in Minneapolis, right? Not too far. Hour quick flight. And delay and delay and delay. So I spend the money to join the Sky Club because at least I can have fewer people. And also you spread out a little more and there's snacks and stuff. But there's also the agent. So I said to him, why is this plane delayed? Is it mechanical? Is it weather? He goes, no, they can't find a pilot. Now, that's not what you want to hear, Will. That's not what you want to hear. Because you're thinking, what are you put something on Facebook. Hey, anybody want to fly an airplane? I need to get home. They couldn't find a pilot. So, you know, they're going to call somebody who didn't want to work that day or wasn't supposed to work that day. This is a departure, a sports departure that happens to us. There was I think it was a Pittsburgh Pirate. And the guy name was Doc Ellis. And he was, this is back in the 70s, I believe, or someplace back in that era. And he wasn't scheduled to pitch that day. So he and his girlfriend did LSD back in the psychedelia days. And all of a sudden, Coach Murdoch called and said, hey, Doc.
You're pitching.
And the story is that he came in and he threw a no-hitter. But he walked about 1,000 people. He threw balls up in the stand. He was as wild as could be. When it went across the plate, it went across the plate like a silver bullet. No one could hit it. So they won the game. And I was thinking, I hope that's not the pilot they call. I hope they don't call Doc Ellis.
Well, I can come in, but...
but I'm a little high, or I'm drunk, or I'm hungover. You know, I don't want any of those things. You know,
no.
Don't pull him off the bench. I want the guy who knows he's supposed to fly that day. You know? But anyway, all's well. Get on the plane, and it's now really late. So I arrive in Grand Rapids, Michigan, an hour from my house, but a cheaper flight for the club. So I drive all the way up there, right? And I get off the plane, which is late, and it's midnight now. Now, I started this at 6 a.m. It's midnight, and my bag comes off the plane last, very last bag. I haven't had the last bag in a while. That's quite the lottery. But when you win it at midnight, that really just stinks.
Yeah.
So anyway, I get the bag. I get in the car. It's a straight run home, 1:31, which at 1 a.m. is under construction because that's the only time they can work. So yeah, that's the romance of being in the ring and looking so wonderful like you do, not me. there's a bookend side to that called getting there and getting home. But I'll tell you what, it's all worth it. It's all worth it because you get to see dogs that you love, a breed you love, and you get to have a really good time in the ring. And I wouldn't trade that for the world. I wouldn't walk there. But I'll put up with
that. I don't think the average Joe understands all that, though. And they see you, you know, they see not you necessarily, they see a judge judging all day long and charging $400 or $500 right. A judge all day long. And but they think, oh my God, so much money just to come and judge dogs. But mm-hmm. they don't see all that what's involved. They don't see, right. if you broke it down to an hourly wage from when you get home, from when you leave to when you get home, it's probably next to nothing.
$5 an hour. It's true. No, I was there, it was 3.5 days. And by the way, you know, what people forget is, yeah, you charge your fee, you charge your expenses, but there's expenses you just don't charge.
Right.
Yeah. Dry cleaning, vending machine, exactly. magazines, but stuff you're going to buy.
Coffee, on that I guess, trip. Yeah.
Yeah, coffee for in Seattle, $9 for a coffee.
But it's good.
It's real. Oh, I got to tell you, it was good everywhere. A breakfast was $21 buffet.
$21. It was how $21. Many people did you buy for?
No, I know. That's what I said. I said, you know, I'm not treating the whole restaurant. Did I miss the floor show? What happened? Plus tax and a tip, right? So that's breakfast at the hotel. And you're not going to write on, I'm not going to put down $32 for breakfast to a club. I just won't do it, you know? And I got to tell you, this club knew that. They knew I was very careful with my expenses and ate some of it. And they were kind enough to give me a kind gift as well. But yeah, hats off to Wilmette Valley English Setter Club. They did a really nice job. And I had a good steward. The prizes were fun. There are these stakes you stick in your plant, you know, and they were made out of like a clear acrylic kind of thing. And on top was a hand-painted English setter, everyone different. It's really, I don't know who painted them, but they were really cool. So yeah, it was a fine time had by all.
I watched the video and I saw you look dapper out there with your matching tie and matching mask. You know?
Well, thank you very much. I rarely wear a suit to judge, but specialties I like to. And I had, and I'll shout out to them. It's called, I don't know how you say it. It's spelled Bow, BEAU, ties, which also spells
bow ties.
Well, it also spells beauties. Right.
Ah, yes.
Yeah. So it's a handmade place in Vermont where my brother lives, and they hand make these beautiful ties and masks. And I got to tell you that you can get the matching mask and tie. Well, mine had, it was navy blue, dark blue to match my suit with little silver paw prints on it, on both. And I got to tell you, Will, it's pretty damn snappy.
Well, come to that though, we have matching ties and masks now.
Only for specialties.
I just have the disposable ones that, you know, that get wet when your nose starts to run.
Oh, yeah. Nice. And the fuzz pulls off underneath. Well, these are nice. They have filters that slide in. So it's triple cloth plus a filter that slides in, but they're pretty breathable and they fit perfectly. So thank you to Beauty's Bow Ties in Vermont and their handmade ties. And actually, I shouldn't have said this because now people are going to get neckties and matching masks handmade in Vermont. And I won't be the only one anymore, Will.
Sorry, man.
I won't be the only one. I'll buy you one for your birthday.
I want one like Bane from Batman.
Oh, they have psychedelic patterns. They have all kinds of stuff. They'll make you pretty much whatever.
Your dog bowed him back.
Speaking of down and back, you know, running a ring is a big deal. And when you have a lot of them, like a national, the one thing I try to do is make it fun. You know, make some comments, try to lighten the load. It's a specialty. It should be a celebration of dogs. And I had a good time. And I think the exhibitors did too. Well, maybe the ones that didn't win, but I tried to keep it light. And I had some nice compliments about that. But what about the opposite, Will? What about what you were talking to me about?
Well, you know, every once in a while, and I get it, but you can be a little too strict in the ring, I think, sometimes. An incident this weekend was we had a judge that was the judge was very strict about their procedure, and they wanted the exact thing over and over again. And if you, by any way, veered from his procedure or from their procedure, he got a little, you know, miffed with you. And at one point, I could see this judge calling out one of the handlers, and they basically pulled him to the center of the ring like a teacher and scolded this handler. And I asked later on what happened, and it was that this handler was paying attention to the procedure of all the previous dogs, which I always teach in my class. Watch what the judge is doing. So this hand artist went about and just did the procedure right away.
That's a pro.
And they did it perfectly. But they didn't wait for the judge to explain the procedure. So this judge got a little miffed with them and tore them down a little bit, you know, in the middle of the ring. I think that was a little much. And I understand that it's your ring and it's your rules. But there's got to be a level when you're not ordering people around, you know, and taking it personally when they don't follow your orders, because people are human and they get nervous and they don't think. And, you know, it's I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it. I went in the ring afterwards and I purposely didn't follow their instructions and they didn't say a word to me. So I was,
that's unfortunate. And, you know, it's a sport. You have to have control of your ring, but you have to have fun. And, right. And it just bothers me to get so, aren't you just evaluating dogs? I had dogs that weren't groomed well, weren't shown well. I didn't care. I mean, yes, I would have liked them to all been groomed perfectly and presented perfectly.
No, because it makes your job, makes our job easier.
Well, of course it does. But that's not the way it works in the real world. And I did the same procedure all day. And I had a couple of people that came up and stopped and looked. Most of them saw me and did what, you know, 90% of them did. But the ones that came up and stopped and looked like, what do you want me to do? I had no problem explaining it carefully, nicely, lightly. And they did it. Maybe they weren't watching. Maybe they just got there. You know, I don't know. But why not? Just all you want to do is see the dogs do what they need to do for you to judge them. And quite frankly, if I'm taking them down and back and they're youngsters and they hop and pop and jump the first 20 steps and the last 20, if I can get 8 good steps in the middle, I'm fine.
You know, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you need 100 feet of down and back that's perfect. I mean, come on. And there's sometimes you squint because you know it's going to happen down and back, but you like them anyway. And you're like, oh, I don't even want to watch this. The mask is king. I will always wear one. The mask is king. You can make any face you want. It's great. I love it. I think it should be mandatory for judges that don't want to reveal their cards, don't want to show their card. But yeah, it's true, Will. A judge sets the tone. And I remember I answered a question for some magazine recently about setting the tone in the ring. And I think everybody got some sort of comment. You know, whenever I went over a dog, I didn't just say nothing. I always said, oh, what a good boy, what a good girl.
And I think that's important. You know, I really do. I think people need to know that you're involved in what you're doing and you appreciate them being there.
Yeah,
I think.
I did have one funny experience. I had, and remember now with masks on, I don't know a lot of the young handlers anyway, especially out there. And with masks on, I just don't know them at all, right? So I didn't know this was a handler. So after saying, show me the bite, please, to everything, I said, okay, show me the pearly whites. And she opened this dog's mouth. It was the dirtiest teeth I've ever seen in my life. And I used the phrase, gonna see his pearly whites. And she went, oh my God, I am so embarrassed. And I said, it's not hereditary. Janie would have tarred and feathered me and left me sit in the bus all day if I came up with a dog like that. But I understand. I've been screamed at before for this. It's not hereditary. Just don't do it again. I just picked it up. And I said, well, you're not going to lose because of it. In fact, you won. But yeah, geez, bring clean teeth, folks. It's not that hard, or at least look.
I have a list. When I do my seminar, I have a list of things that exhibitors in charge of. The one thing they're not in charge of is they cannot decide who wins the class.
That's right.
But there is your dog's weight, your dog's training, your dog's condition, your dog's teeth, your dog's nails. Those are the things that you are in charge of. And I feel if you don't fulfill that list, you're not doing your dog justice. Because the only thing you're not in control of is the outcome. But you are in control of what that dog looks like when it walks in the ring. And it does, even if it's not the best dog in the world, you're still in charge of all those things, the wellness of your dog, the training of your dog, the teeth, the nails, just simple things that, you know, once you sign up to enter that dog show, those things should be done.
Yeah, they should. And by the way, for the teeth, this isn't just cosmetic. You know, your dog can die from that. And I can tell you an instance that happened to me. I had a pointer that I brought over from England, and he needed his teeth cleaned badly. I took him in to to get them done, and which required anesthesia. He came home, and because it was a vet, a good friend who knows what I know what I'm doing. So she came, he came home a little earlier, maybe. I was taking, you know, I was right there with him, taking care of him. And about an hour later, he woke up and he walked right into a wall. And I thought, wow, that anesthesia must be really serious. And then I realized he couldn't see. He was blind as a bat. And I called her, and she panicked. She thought, it must be the anesthesia at first, right? What would make a dog go? She's an amazing, amazing diagnostician and a researcher. And finally, she said, the only thing I can think of is let's find a great eye doc. And there's one about an hour from me. And I drove out there, and the place was a palace. And I don't want to tell you, he told me how he makes all his money to make this beautiful place. I don't want to tell you how that is because okay. The breeds might be offended. But anyway, I told him what happened, and I was in a panic. All the vets in town were all working on it here in Kalamazoo. They were all talking to each other. And I walked in, and he just went, not to worry. And he got a microscope, this thing that looked like the spyglass on a pirate ship. And he put it up to the dog's eye, and he goes, look in there. And there was worms crawling all over his eyes. The bacteria had broken off his teeth, gotten to his gums, and become systemic. They would go from those eyeballs to the brain, and he would have died. And he knew exactly what it was. And he gave him this antibiotic. Immediately, a day later, the dog had perfect vision. But if you think teeth are just cosmetic, you got to keep them clean. If you just scale them yourself, and you know what you're doing, you're not bleeding everything, you're going to keep up on that, or brush them, whatever you got to do, keep up on that. So it doesn't get to the point where they're so bad that they're put under to get cleaned and they break off. You know, at this point now, I won't get teeth done without antibiotics first. I'll get, if I'm taking a dog into the vet to have the teeth, you know, an old beagle.
Yeah, for sure.
I'll give me antibiotics before I bring them in.
I've had dentists do that to me, you know. Yes, yep. You know, when I was getting my wisdom teeth taken out, they said, before you come in, I want you to be on this and this and this, and then we'll go from there.
Well, it happened to me. I had dental work done, and I flew to California the next day to do a seminar. And in the middle of the seminar, I didn't know where I was. My head was spinning. I really didn't know where I was. And God bless Tony Vaca, he had to step up and take over for me. And I ended up in the hospital that night. Wow. Tony and the crew took me and brought me to the hospital. And it was antibiotic drip and the whole thing. So don't mess with your dog's teeth, people. Clean them. Keep them healthy. It's your job. And I had a whole bunch of pea-stained, yellow, red-footed English setters. And I'm not, and it was one or two exhibitors. And it really pissed me off, Will. Not because they come in stained, because I know how they're living and where they live. And that bothers me. That bothers me. I don't want to, I almost want to send someone to the kennel and say, hey, check this place out, because there's no way they can all be this yellow and pea stained and red footed if they're being taken care of properly. Anyway, as far as I'm concerned, it's a responsibility of everybody to keep these dogs in good condition, healthy condition. They don't all have to be trimmed to perfection.
Exactly.
Talk about this, but bring them in condition. It's just not, what if this happened. The flight crew that I met on the shuttle came to watch a couple minutes of the dog show because they were real interested. And they're so cute. They had their little suits on. They're all ready to go, but they wanted to watch a while. And I thought, I wonder what they think about some of these dogs, where they walk in here and the condition they're in. I also had a fun time with a young handler, a young woman, very young, and she had scissored the underline of her dog, but she kind of missed. And it was perfectly straight. It wasn't, it was the scissor mark, clear as a bell. And I said to her, hey, here's the thing. You might want to have a look at that from the outside, have someone set it up and look. I'm not going to hold it against you at all. And really, I don't care about that, but it was pretty funny. So if you're going to try to do whatever the masters do with their underlines and scissoring, which bothers me anyway.
I remember judging a setter sweepstakes somewhere. And I forget, one of my friends walked in. It was an older class, so they had underlines. I'm looking at this underline, I'm like, what the heck? So when I was going over their dog, I said, did you trim this underline where this dog was lying on the couch? I almost said Chesterfield. That's on the couch. And maybe you should stand it up next time and get a good look at it.
Perfect. I was looking at old pictures of Sir Kip of Manitou, one of my favorite English setters, local dog where I grew up, real local. And Bill Traynor showed him. And he cut that. You have to look at these pictures. He cut that underline so sharp. I've never seen it. I'll send you the picture. Okay. It looks worse than a greyhound. It's real. It just goes straight up and it's stuck up and down. I don't know what he was trying to do, but it didn't work. And Bill was a great handler and trimmer, but not on that. Whatever he was trying to pull up didn't work.
He probably thought he was doing something, you know,
shorten his back or something. Yeah. And he didn't need it. But I had to tell you, I had lots of long loins this weekend, and I spanned them with my hand, and people did notice. I got to tell you a funny story, though. I don't know if it's a podcast or what, Will, but no one, maybe three or four people, tried to come back to me and do some swirly dirly thing. There's no figure skating. I told them all down and then right back to me facing me. But I think the word had gotten out because
I think it did.
It did. I'll bet it did.
All they have to do is listen to the dog show drive and they'll understand.
That's right. And then when I want them to stand on their own, I'll bring them out and tell them to do so. When they come back, and it was interesting because English setters, we bred a lot of them as a kid. Well, my dad, and I could tell you, none of ours would have stopped straight. They all looked bull-legged when they came back. They all, English setter fronts, they're famous, right? So it was pretty funny seeing the different designs. But I had some really nice dogs. I was very happy. And I love being there. I'm doing another one next year. So I'm doing two more next year. I'm doing an Irish setter one next month. And it's going to be a sad one because it's Jan's show. She called and invited me to judge. And it's going to be mixed emotions. So we'll have a good show just for her. But
I'm sure she'll make sure you're all doing the right thing.
Now, you and I, we did not plan this.
Yeah.
Someone's going to be offended.
Oh.
But you and I are not going to the Beagle National.
No.
Don't believe Eddie and Jeff are either. Eddie Zook and Jeff Sausman. I don't think they are either.
Yeah.
We love Heather, who's judging. Love her. It's just that my personal schedule just does not allow it, period.
Yeah.
I know Eddie and Jeff just moved and Jeff started a new job. So it's going to be tough for them. And in your case, it's not easy for you to get over the board and run down for something like that. If you're not showing, you've got other things to do.
Yeah.
So
I really wanted to come and watch her judge because I've known Heather a long time. And I was wanting to see what she did because I know she'll do a great job.
She's a really good dog woman. And I think I would love to have been there. Hopefully we'll get to watch it on video, but
Yeah,
it really bothers me that I'm going to be there. And I would have loved to have seen all our friends down there, too.
The next Aldi, though, I think we have to rent the pub, the blow-up Kavanaugh pub.
Absolutely. And Aldi, for sure.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
For those who don't know what we're talking about, Aldi, Virginia is the National Beagle Club's own private...
headquarters, home. I guess that's it.
Yeah. It was a hunt club. Yeah. And in fact, the Beagle Club is a hunt club. The AKC... parent club is a field trial or not field trial. It's a hunting club. And, they have, they're kind enough to let the dog show people, represent them at delegates meetings. And it's been a really great combination association for many years, but they have their own grounds. And on these grounds is a perfect pool table, grass, magnificent spot surrounded by ancient cabins. And I mean, not kit cabins, old, somebody cut down the tree and put mud in between cabins. It is the most charming, wonderful place.
Oh, I love when it's in Aldi. It's my favorite.
Every 5 years it's there.
Yeah.
And so this time we're going to bring our blow up pub and we'll all be there for that. I don't know who's judging, but when is that? Next year?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. I've lost track.
I know who's judging next year. Scott Files judging next year.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he won the thing.
Okay.
And Scott's a great friend, just a really good guy. By the way, him and Jamie have a greyhound that is on a roll.
Yeah, I saw that.
We can't promote
No, we can't promote it, but you know it.
We have never seen it. It might be horrible. We don't know. We just know it wins low. There you go. I'm sticking with that. But they're great guys, and I think it'll be fun for Scott to do it. He's looking forward to it, and he's a good student, so that'll be fun next year. Meanwhile, we're not going to Mars the Next either, and that stinks.
No, I would have loved to have made it down there. I just couldn't make it work out. So.
Did you see this entry, Will?
No, I didn't. What is it?
4,000, 4,100 or something.
That's excellent.
Isn't that great?
Yes. Oh, that's wonderful. Fabulous. Love to see all those. Oh, I really wish I could have made it. I just can't swing it.
Yeah, I can't either. And it's, you know, we've got a lot going on in our life here. We're building a new house again. And just so much going on.
Oh, yeah. Hockey season's coming up. No, I'm just kidding.
That's true. Hey, when I was in Seattle, the Kraken had their first practice. I couldn't get in. I thought maybe I could, but I couldn't get in. But I did wear my Seattle Kraken sweatshirt.
Oh, geez.
And I think that a lot of people had no idea what the hell Seattle Kraken was. But it's a new expansion team in the NHL, and they've got a kid that played right here in Kalamazoo, who's won two Stanley Cups already, Yanni Gourde. Let's hear it for Yanni Gourde. He's going to make the Kraken happen, and I'm going to be out there to watch him.
I have to tell you, I have another hockey influence for our show. As I was at a dog show in Sudbury, Ontario this weekend. It was a beautiful show. It was amazing because it was at a horse farm about 40 minutes outside of Sudbury. Now, 40 minutes outside of Sudbury is not another city. It's like nowhere. Like you have to follow a blazed trail to get to the dog show. But once you got there, it was amazing. Jim Reynolds was on the panel, and he was like, he said to me that he drove into the bush, what it seemed like, and all of a sudden a dog show appeared. And wow, they did a really good job. It was even the setup was pretty. It looked like a dog. It was great. In the middle of nowhere, there was this dog show. But anyway, yeah. I'm getting off topic.
Well, Jim was raving about his accommodations to me.
Oh, yeah.
You couldn't stop talking about it.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry. Sorry.
Anyway, this gentleman stopped me, and he said his wife listened to our show all the time. And I see him a lot of dog shows, and he's always wearing Montreal Canadiens, either a cap or a sweatshirt or a t-shirt, right. Always something. And so, but we talk about hockey, even though he's on that side, we still talk about hockey. And we're both, you know, quite educated on the topic of hockey, so we have good conversations. He wanted to say to me that he listens to it through his wife, because his wife will be listening to it while they're driving. So he asked to listen to it. And he thought our rapport was wonderful and reminded him of Danny Gallivan and Dick Irvin, who were big Montreal Canadian commentators.
But still, that's a compliment.
For sure it is. I was like, yeah.
That's right. That's where we're going to get. That's great. Well, we're talking about having fun at dog shows, and I'm really looking forward to Woofstock. I'm judging there in November.
Oh, good.
And I got to tell you, the communication with that club, Kim's business, just unbelievable. Kim Meredith, I just love her. And she does so many good things. She judges constantly. And I, I'm thinking about when I do a bunch of all breeds in a row, that's one thing. But again, you know, doing these independent things once. She does it every weekend. She judges every weekend. And it's a lot of work. But she said, I'm in a rhythm. I've got a pattern. I know what to do. And I'll take the sacrifice. And by the way, we were talking, just to jump back a bit. It's not just the hours you put in to get there and judge and get out. That 450 or 500 bucks, whatever it might be. That's the lifetime of knowledge that it takes to get there.
Right.
And that's expensive. Not to mention the tests and the licensing and all that stuff. But you're paying for a lot of other things. And it's I understand the clubs are struggling, so I feel bad about it. And I try my best to shave what I can, and I eat it sometimes. But anyway, you were talking
your knowledge comment brings up I was reading this morning, and Thomas Jackal, who's a judge and a breeder in Europe, He put a post on Facebook this morning and said, and the post was, judging is not a matter of expressing your opinion. Judging is a matter of knowledge. And that's just what you spoke about. And I agree. Yeah. I remember talking to the famous Nigel Aubrey Jones one time, and he was telling me the story about judging the IG National in America. And he ended up giving a class bitch, puppy bitch, the breed over all the specials. And someone came to him and said, I think I may have told this story before. Sorry, folks.
I haven't heard it.
But it took a lot of courage to put that puppy bitch over all these these specials and these numbers of dogs. And Nigel turned to him and said, it's not courage he possessed, it was knowledge.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
It's absolutely true. You have to feel comfortable in doing that.
Yeah.
And there's lots of levels to the psychology of it. You know, there's knowledge, and then there's knowing how to apply that knowledge. And sometimes I fly home going, man, I should have done this, or I should have done that differently. I think every judge will probably do that if they care, if they're really passionate about what they do. And we do this because we're passionate. That's why we show them. That's why we go.
Oh, exactly.
You know, it really is, you know, it's knowledge, then applying that knowledge. And it's beautiful to see it happen right. Speaking of knowledge and big assignments, I believe that we have a best in show judge for Westminster this year of merit.
Oh, yes, of course we do. The doctor.
The doctor, Donald Sturz. And Donald Sturz is got married this weekend. And I got to tell you, to Sean Gillespie, I believe, and I hope I got his name right. But let me tell you, those pictures, they just had a great time.
Oh, it looks like a party. It's great.
Beautiful. That's what it should be.
Yeah.
You know, and Donald is such a good guy and serious guy. I haven't had the pleasure of meeting his husband, but, you know, it's wonderful how the support of the sport, when people get married or people get sick or people, you know, you just feel like everybody was there at the event. Everyone was at the wedding, the funeral, the birthday, the anniversary. Everybody was there. You know, it's wonderful to remember that's the family that gets this sport down the road. So congratulations to Donald and Sean. I wish you the best. I know you're going to continue to do great in the sport and in your fields. Donald's so influential and expense and knowledgeable and really, I guess, an asset to the education system where he lives and all he does for it. So he's far more than a dog show judge, as I would hope most of us are. So there you have it. Woofstock, I've got to buy my tie-dye, Will. You got any I can borrow?
No, but it's not hard to make. You know, we used to all make those in high school. Remember, you tie-dye your T-shirts and whatnot.
But what about a suit?
A suit? I think you should just find some polyester leisure suit. Yeah, you need to find. Why don't you go watch an episode of Austin Powers, a movie, and get some ideas. Whoa. And then you can be groovy, baby.
That's a good one. Eddie and Jeff Sosman, he and Eddie just bought a new house, and he emailed me last night, and he said something about, we're going mid-century modern, you know, like I Love Lucy meets something. You know,
he got some splaining to do. I love this.
Great. Speaking of mid-century modern, Sean and Jamie, Scott and Jamie's house, Scott Fowler and Jamie Donahue's house, that is mid-century modern deluxe. They've done a super job decorating. We've got a lot of talented people in this sport. A whole lot of them, Will. I tell you, a whole lot of them. So what else is new up there? Now, I know you have, you've got dog shows again. How's it feel?
Oh, no, the general feeling of the dog shows is it just seems like it's back to normal again. Like we're all wearing our masks and every ringside's wearing their masks. But I feel like it's made full circle and we're pretty well back at it. There's like this weekend, there's a show in Burlington, which is only half an hour from me. But then there's another show back in Sudbury, which is 4 hours from me. So that's too close for me as far as I'm concerned. And we don't have a great number. Our dog show population, like our show dog population isn't that strong to split them that way. But, you know, the two clubs wanted to have their shows and I guess they had, I don't know how the dates worked out this way, but It did, but it feels like we're right back at it. It feels like the dog shows are back at it. Burlington last year was canceled, and so I'm very happy that they did it this year. We already said congratulations and
looking forward to it. Martha Mystics was canceled last year because of COVID, and there, so this is really a 6-year gap. I believe that's true, that they had to extend a year. Woofstock is in November. I mean, we're still adjusting this whole calendar thing. And I think we still will. Looks like the surge is starting to back off in some states. I hope that's true because I would love to get back to normal. Although I got to say that I have no problem wearing these masks.
No.
The problem is you bitch about it and complain about it. And then you're we wear a necktie, Will. We put a tie, we button our shirt right here and jack up this necktie. There's nothing more uncomfortable and awkward than that. You know, putting a mask on is a piece of, but we've been doing the necktie and jack thing so long, we don't even think about it anymore. And I'm kind of getting that way about a mask. But the back of your ears, after a while, do you get that? If you're wearing one for so long, the back of your ears start to hurt?
Well, it depends on the make of masks. But like, I have a cloth mask, and like people talk about my ears sticking out as it is. Well, I'm afraid COVID has made it worse on me because the masks have trained them to stick out even more so. Unless I use the disposable ones, they tend not to. But the other ones tend to push on my ears. And yeah, I'll even get comments when someone's talking to me, "Oh, yours are really sticking out today, aren't they?" Like, oh, yeah.
Good to hear you with. Yeah.
Why couldn't my mom have just tacked them back for me?
I don't know. I think they suit you perfectly, Sean. This is the Sean Connery reference, ladies and gentlemen. Just so you know. But you're going to these shows again. And you got the dogs going, and you're getting them. Well, see, here we bathe them. There you bath them. But you got that.
Oh, we bathe them too. We can do both. Yeah.
What's the difference between bathing and bathing?
Nothing.
Nothing. Okay. It just depends on where you're from.
Yeah, it's like pop and soda. You know.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to make sure. Yeah, when we moved here, it's pop out here, and the poor kids would come over. You know, they were playing with our kids, or whatever, and they'd ask for a pop, and Cheryl would say, "I'm sorry, we don't have anything like that here." "Well, I can see it, Mrs. Cavanaugh. It's right there." "No, we don't have any pop." "You want to ask for it, you ask for it right." "Can I have a soda?" "Sure, you can."
I'm not going over the Cavanaughs. she's like giving me a test the whole time.
You don't want to mess with Cheryl. My wife is so cool and so tough and so fun. And there was a couple in the middle of the day, parked near our house, and let's say they were you wouldn't want anybody to see it, young or old.
Oh, they're watching the submarine races.
They
still use that term? I don't think so.
So what do you think Cheryl did instead of walking by? What do you think she did?
She called them out, probably banged on the window.
Banged on their hood. She banged on their hood and told them to get that out. Not once. And then the poor guy, they're in two cars. So the one guy gets out of his car, hikes up his pants. She's screaming at him, and he's 6'20", but she had Killian there.
Yeah. So
the guy's like, I'm sorry. And this wasn't a young guy either. I'm sorry. And gets in his car, and they both take off 100 miles an hour. And Cheryl's standing there with Killian, this giant wolfhound.
Yeah.
But she's banging on his head, "Get out of here."
Well, that's pretty good backup.
I'm not sure I would have done that. You know, I'm not sure I would have banged on his head and chased him, but you know, what a mess at Cheryl. She's that's good Irish stock out there from the Stanley family. Didn't mess around. But then I'll tell you one thing is when I'm gone, it's another thing about judging. Someone's gotta take care of the dogs. And that's a lot to leave with Cheryl. And
she has a
job. Killian was pissed off this time that I left, though. He wasn't happy when I got home. He didn't like that a bit. He's getting a little funny about it. But she does a great job with them. And they love their mommy. They wake her up in the morning. No one woke me up this morning, obviously.
I know.
That? Well, I got in at 2:00.
I understand.
Yeah. All right, bud. I think it's time to wrap it up. I just want to say one thing. This is a sport that we love. These are dogs we love. These are shows we love. We'll do anything to get to them. We'll do anything to get home as long as we're all continued to be a positive family with an outlook on the sport that is better than the day before.
I agree. I said a a bad day at the dog show is better than a good day almost anywhere else.
That's right. All right, Will.
Except for a hockey game, maybe. No, I'm just kidding.
Which team wins?
Yeah, all right, never mind. Yeah. You had to bring that up, didn't you?
Well, I had to suffer the Detroit Lions. I'm watching it on the plane.
Oh, my funny. God.
This is a plane flying back into Michigan, right? So half the plane's got the Detroit Lions game on, but not for long. Not for long. After I was like, oh, I can't take this anymore. And I'm looking, thinking, now I know what these vomit bags are for. Watch the Lions.
And they just can't seem to get it together year after year.
Oh, and it just dry you drops. They drop a hike. It just can't even take a snap and throw in. I mean, this the most bizarre penalties and stuff at the worst moment. It was awful. It was just self-destruction, like as if they bet against themselves or something.
It's like they've been rebuilding for years and just haven't gotten anywhere. I don't know. And I'm not a huge football fan, but even I notice, you know.
And they have one of the best quarterbacks who probably ever lived, Matthew Stafford. Now he's out west doing real well. I think he completed his first 6 passes for 2 touchdowns or some crazy thing.
He just needed a team.
I think, you know, you can blame everybody, the general managers, the coaches, the players. The owner's got to do something about this. Or the fans have got to stop going to games.
Yeah.
Don't buy a ticket. Don't go. See how that white wakes up the Fords. See how that wakes them up. Anyway, enough of that. Young William, have a wonderful week. And take us down the road, bud.
All right. Safe drive, everybody. Party on, Garth. Party on, Wayne.
Party on, Will.
Party on, Garth.
I'm born no way.
Way.
Down Rocky Cliffs. Give me grace. Bury my sins.
Shattered glass. Ernie can use this in the blooper reel.
That's right. Without you, Ernie. From where I need to go.
Don't put that in, Ernie.
Thanks, Ernie.
Don't hold back.